Welcome to the Shortwave Report. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. This Shortwave Report is a 30-minute review of news and opinion heard on the shortwave radio and the internet in Northern California. Listening to international broadcast at home is quite easy. You just need a shortwave radio with a schedule of English language broadcast or a computer or smartphone with an internet connection. To help you with this, I'll announce times, frequencies, and website addresses at the conclusion of each series of stories. At the website for this show, that's www.outfarpress.com, you can listen to the past 5 shortwave reports, find advice for listening to shortwave at home, and find internet links for global news sources. Please check it out and tell a friend. In today's edition, you'll hear reports from Sputnik Radio, Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, NHK Japan, and Radio Havana, Cuba. We will begin with Sputnik Radio. Afshin Ratansi spoke with former Brazilian President Lula da Silva on a range of topics. We will hear excerpts on the COVID crisis under President Bolsonaro, the U.S. involvement in the coup that imprisoned Lula for 2 years, the importance of Edward Snowden and Julian Assange, the crisis in the Amazon rainforest, and the current pandemic of ignorance defeating intelligence. Russia's Sputnik Radio.
One nation holds more rainforest than any other, and today we speak to its former president, jailed for nearly 2 years after an alleged U.S.-backed show trial. After leaving office in 2010, he was later convicted on charges of corruption, which saw him imprisoned for 580 days over the so-called Operation Car Wash, the largest corruption probe in the nation's history that discovered vast contracts for kickbacks involving the ruling elite. His imprisonment arguably catalyzed the election of Jair Bolsonaro as president of Latin America's largest country. Brazil's most popular politician, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, brought tens of millions of his people out of poverty and into education as president. First, why are you accusing your successor, Jair Bolsonaro, of genocide?
For a very simple reason. Our president did not take care of Brazil and of the Brazilian people as he should have done. This pandemic did not reach Brazil without prior notice. We already had the experience of what was going on in other countries around the world, and the president should have simply done the obvious. Only what common sense teaches us to do. The president, since he doesn't know about anything except weapons and violence, should have set up a technical committee with experts and scientists. He should have gathered all state governors as well as mayors and established a crisis committee to guide Brazilian society to participate in the process of mitigating the impacts of the pandemic in Brazil. He did not do this. He decried the pandemic. He said that people should not wear masks. He prescribed a drug called chloroquine to the population without any scientific basis. And to this date, he continues to vulgarize death because, effectively, he does not believe in science nor in the Brazilian people, and he does not respect individuals. The only thing he does is compliment Trump and to try to copy the same foolish things that Trump does in the U.S. The coup was the beginning of a new attitude in Brazil. In my opinion, it was organized by the U.S. Department of Justice with the participation of the CIA. We have video recordings. The Intercept has publicly exposed all the scams of the federal prosecutor and Judge Moro and the participation of the U.S. DOJ in destroying the construction and engineering segment in Brazil, the gas industry in Brazil, and the country's politics. Because the U.S. never accepted the fact that Brazil would become an international player. You must remember that the U.S. and Europe had a hard time dealing with Iran, because they could not reach an agreement with regards to uranium enrichment. Ambassador Celso Amorim and I went to Iran with the President of Turkey, and we were successful in convincing Iran to accept an agreement which was better than this deal that was signed by the Americans and the European Union. Regretfully, when we proposed the agreement, I expected that the US and Europe would thank Brazil and Turkey. Instead, they applied more sanctions against Iran in a clear demonstration that they were telling us that Brazil is a small third world country that cannot meddle with major countries' affairs. Our oil is on the maritime border of our international waters. So I believe that the US truly are interested in taking over our oil. Just as they grab so much oil in so many countries around the world. As you know, Afshin, all political confusions around the world occur because of oil, and the Americans do not want Petrobras, nor the Brazilian people, to keep all that oil. It is true that the Americans may hate Snowden because he was a State Department employee and he leaked information. But the fact is that Assange should be considered a hero by all democratic countries around the world, because he was the one who used Snowden's leaks to expose US espionage in Petrobras, in Brazil, in Germany, in Argentina, in France. That is, Assange cannot be handed over to the US. Assange should win the Nobel Peace Prize because he managed to expose the rotten espionage of the US in the rest of the world. It is a pity that European and South American countries are not brave enough to stand up for Assange, for all the good he did to mankind. Now they are blaming the indigenous people and the small farmers for deforestation. I have high hopes that in 2022, Brazil will return to democracy, that the people will elect a Democrat for president who respects the environment and our airspace, our borders, and who knows the meaning of our country's sovereignty. Recently, I saw Trump calling Obama a communist, calling Biden a communist, calling Clinton a communist. He doesn't even know what communism is. That is, I think ignorance is defeating intelligence. Intelligence, humanism, solidarity need to be restored in the world. It is not possible that half a dozen entrepreneurs in digital corporations make in 1 year what billions of human beings do not ever have. We also need to discuss the role of capitalism. And I am willing to do this.
Lula da Silva, thank you.
That interview was by Afshin Ratansi on Sputnik Radio, the current name for the Voice of Russia, available online at rt.com. Those excerpts were from a special 28-minute interview on his program called Going Underground. The show is worth listening to in its entirety up at the website. Next, Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle. First, a series of brief reports, including global COVID news. Fighting continued in Palestine while the U.S. hosted Israel, the United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain, signing accords to normalize diplomatic relations. The United Nations set targets 10 years ago to protect wildlife and stop human-influenced extinction. None of the goals have been met, and many animals and plants are gone or closer to vanishing. Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle.
Mexico's president, Andre Lopez Obrador, has asked the country's Senate for a referendum on whether to prosecute five of his predecessors over allegations, including widespread corruption. He's also accusing them of presiding over, quote, excessive concentrations of wealth and monumental losses to the Treasury.
India has agreed to distribute 100 million doses of Russia's experimental vaccine. Indian health officials report now more than 5 million cases of the virus. The UK reporting its highest daily cases count since the beginning of May, with more than 4,000 new infections. Prime Minister Boris Johnson says he is against another full lockdown. Germany has issued fresh travel warnings for several regions, which include major European cities. On the list are Vienna, Budapest, Amsterdam, and Rotterdam. South Africa's president has announced that the country will open its borders to most nations next month, and that many strict lockdown measures will now be gradually eased.
In New Zealand, which has gone into recession for the first time for more than 10 years, forcing the Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, to defend her government's pandemic response ahead of next month's general election. A report from UNICEF and Save the Children is warning that the pandemic and related lockdown measures have pushed more than 150 million children into poverty. They're warning that the situation is likely to deteriorate further. And Germany has recorded its second highest daily caseload increase since April. That's 2,000, according to the Robert Koch Institute. That's the country's public health body. German bioengineering company BioNTech says production of 750 million doses a year of a COVID-19 vaccine could start in the first half of next year. The drugs being developed in collaboration with Pfizer and BioNTech will purchase a production company in the German city of Marburg from pharmaceutical giant Novartis.
The Israeli army says it has struck Hamas targets in the Gaza Strip early on Wednesday. The bombings are an apparent retaliation for rockets fired from the Hamas-controlled territory the previous evening. Now, the rockets were launched as Israel, the United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain signed accords in Washington to normalize diplomatic relations. U.S. President Donald Trump hosting that White House ceremony, placing himself in the role of international peacemaker, ahead of elections in November.
Thank you very much. Please.
The decision by the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain to normalize ties with Israel breaks with decades of consensus within the Arab world. A peace deal with the Palestinians has long been upheld as a prerequisite for establishing relations with Israel. Trump and Netanyahu are hopeful, though, that other Arab nations will follow suit, creating a major shift in ties in the region.
And the blessings of the peace we make today will be enormous. First, because this peace will eventually expand to include other Arab states. And ultimately, it can end the Arab-Israeli conflict once and for all.
But the agreements do not address the core conflict between Israel and the Palestinians. Bahrain's foreign minister also made it clear that it was too early to celebrate.
A just, comprehensive, and enduring two-state solution to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict will be the foundation, the bedrock of such peace.
In the Palestinian territories, the new agreements have been met with anger. Warning sirens sounded as several rockets fired from the Gaza Strip hit Israeli territory. Earlier, hundreds rallied in the occupied West Bank and the Gaza Strip. This agreement today is an agreement that betrays the Palestinian cause and stabs the Palestinian people. And this Emirati-Bahrainian agreement is a withdrawal from the Arab Initiative and the Arab Unison. We say no to normalization, and this normalization is a betrayal to the Palestinian cause and pan-Arabism. Of course, the Palestinian people denounce this agreement. The Palestinian leadership has made it clear that only Israel's withdrawal from the occupied territories can bring peace. But as Israel and Gaza again exchange fire, that seems as far away a goal as ever.
It is a terrible report card. The global plan to protect wildlife and save Earth's disappearing species from extinction has missed every target set 10 years ago. In its latest report released on Tuesday, the United Nations says with none of these goals met, the effect on plant and animal species has been devastating.
The cotton-topped tamarin, the white rhinoceros, lions, all endangered. The situation is also grim for many other species. The same goes for much plant life, which is rapidly losing its diversity. About 1 million species face possible extinction. Amphibians, mammals, coral reefs are also heavily affected. There are many reasons for this. The world's population has doubled in the last 50 years, increasing consumption. More and more land is required for agriculture, while resources like water and forests are being depleted. And even as efforts to combat deforestation increase, too much logging is still going on. Undisturbed natural areas are harder to find, and then there are the effects of climate change. All that has had its effect on wildlife. According to a recent study, the numbers in monitored wildlife populations around the world have declined by 68% in the last several decades. Scientists estimate that vastly more animal species, including birds and mammals, would have become extinct without legally protected areas like national parks.
Those reports were from Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, which may be heard at a combined audio-video website, dw.com. On to NHK Japan. The summer in the Northern Hemisphere was the hottest ever recorded, and weather agencies attribute this as responsible for the widespread wildfires in the west coast of the United States. Trump briefly visited California to learn about the extent of the devastating fires and to assure his followers that the science of global warming is completely wrong and that it will soon start getting cooler. I live in an area with lots of fires and evacuations. Shock at Trump's attitude was a leading story on every international broadcaster. NHK Japan.
A U.S. government agency says the summer in the Northern Hemisphere this year was the hottest ever recorded. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, released a report on global temperatures on Monday. It says the Northern Hemisphere had its warmest June to August period on record at 1.17 degrees Celsius above average. This surpasses the now second warmest such periods in 2016 and again in 2019. The report also says the extent of Arctic sea ice in August was the third smallest on record. The NOAA says the record heat wave and drought are responsible for the widespread wildfires on the U.S. West Coast.
Wildfires across the western U.S. have spread a haze all the way to the East Coast. What caused them is up for debate and is now an issue in the race for the presidency. NHK World's Catherine Kobayashi reports.
The view from above reveals what some Americans have lost, block after block of things that used to be. The neighborhoods where families grew, their homes, the things they cherished. The president blames state officials for not cleaning up forests. Donald Trump disputes any connection between the fires and climate change.
It'll start getting cooler.
You just watch. I wish science agreed with you.
Well, I don't think science knows.
Trump has dismissed global warming as a hoax, and he's rolled back one environmental protection after another. But experts say climate change has led to more wildfires. The flames have swept across 10 states, forced hundreds of thousands of people from their homes, and shrouded much of the continent in smoke.
If you give a climate arsonist 4 more years in the White House, Why would anyone be surprised if we have more America ablaze?
Law and order, never mentioned them once.
Trump has tried to paint his opponent as being weak on crime, a threat to the safety of voters in the suburbs. Now, Biden has reframed the meaning of safety, citing the wildfires, hurricanes, and floods as examples of nature's fury.
This doesn't have to be a partisan issue. Science, again, tells us that this climate change is driving this catastrophic fire experience that we're having this summer.
Environmental issues have often been pushed to the sidelines in the race for the presidency. This year, Americans can't avoid them. The evidence is at their doorsteps. Catherine Kobayashi, NHK World, New York.
The World Trade Organization says punitive tariffs the United States imposed on Chinese imports violate international trade rules. The finding in a report issued Tuesday is the international trade body's first decision concerning the trade conflict between Washington and Beijing. The Trump administration imposed additional tariffs of 25% on goods from China in 2018, citing Section 301 of the U.S. Trade Act. The U.S. government argued that China had infringed intellectual property rights by unfairly obtaining advanced technologies from American companies. Washington's retaliatory action prompted Beijing to file a complaint with the WTO. The trade body's panel upheld China's claim. It said in the report that U.S. officials failed to explain why the move was justified. The Chinese Ministry of Commerce said the ruling was objective and fair and called on Washington to respect it. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer said the ruling shows that the WTO is completely inadequate to stop China's harmful technology practices. The U.S. government has not yet said whether it will appeal the ruling.
Those reports were from NHK Radio Japan. They are now heard from 9:30 to 10 p.m. at 5975-7245 and 11970, or on the web at www.nhk.or.jp. All the times I announce are for Pacific Daylight Saving Time, so please adjust them to your time zone. If you have questions or comments about the shortwave report or could make a donation for production cost of this unfunded program, I may be reached through the website and PayPal or by writing to Dan Roberts at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490. Almost all the funding this freely distributed program receives is from individual listener donations. Please, if you find this program beneficial, help support my efforts like a listener in Willits, California did this week. Many thanks. We will conclude with Radio Havana, Cuba. Venezuela has accused a recently arrested U.S. citizen of being a CIA agent spying and planning to sabotage oil refineries and electrical service. A Spanish court convicted a Salvadoran army general for the 1989 murder of 5 Jesuit priests in El Salvador. The Colombian Air Force will conduct a joint military exercise with U.S. troops in the Caribbean, with much opposition in Colombia. The Iranian government has warned the United States against the threat of a huge attack issued by Trump. Radio Havana, Cuba.
Venezuela's chief prosecutor on Monday accused a recently arrested U.S. citizen of spying and planning to sabotage oil refineries and electrical service in order to stir unrest and kill innocent people. The man, said to be a CIA agent, had help from 3 Venezuelan conspirators who were arrested near a pair of oil refineries in the North Caribbean coast of Venezuela. Venezuela's chief prosecutor, Tarek William Saab, said on state television that the U.S. spy's name is Matthew John Heath. The prosecutor showed pictures of equipment seized from the group, including a grenade launcher, plastic explosives, a satellite phone, and a bag full of U.S. dollars. Authorities said mobile phones taken from the men when they were arrested include images of a large bridge in Zulia province and oil refineries in Falcón State. Everything qualifies as a lethal weapon designed to cause harm and to promote assassinations, crimes against the people of Venezuela. He accused the man also of trying to open a drug trafficking route through Venezuela. And in Spain, a former Salvadorian army colonel has been convicted for the 1989 murder of five Jesuit priests in El Salvador. The five were Spanish nationals who were assassinated by a U.S.-trained death squad. They also killed a sixth priest, who was a Salvadorian, along with their housekeeper and a teenage daughter. Inocente Orlando Montano was sentenced to 133 years in prison. Montano lived in the United States for 16 years. He was extradited to Madrid several years ago in 2017 to face charges of murder. The Colombian Air Force has announced that Colombia will conduct a joint military exercise with U.S. troops in the Caribbean maritime region of Sucre. The announcement was rejected by broad social sectors in Colombia and comes in the context of the upcoming visit to the country by U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. The communique issued by the Colombian military forces indicates that the operational exercise has the objective of, quote, strengthening procedures and standards in the detection, location, and neutralization of illicit activities at the service of transnational crime of drug trafficking. These joint maneuvers will take place from September the 18th to the 21st under the name Poseidon. On Tuesday, Washington announced that U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo will visit Colombia. He'll also go to Guyana, Brazil, and Suriname during a tour that will take place from September the 17th through the 20th. The Iranian government has warned the United States against making another strategic mistake after President Donald Trump threatened Tehran with a huge attack. In a tweet on Monday, Trump referred to press reports that Iran may be planning an assassination or another attack against the United States in retaliation for Washington's assassination of a top Iranian military commander in January in Iraq. The claim was essentially made in a report by Politico, which cited U.S. officials familiar with the matter. Iran categorically has rejected the allegations. The U.S. president then threatened any attack by Iran in any form against the United States will be met with an attack on Iran that will be 1,000 times greater in magnitude. In response on Tuesday, the Iranian government official said, "We have witnessed throughout the region's history that the United States has initiated wars in Afghanistan and Iraq based on bogus reports. This is an American tradition."
Those reports were from Radio Havana, Cuba. Cuba's website has been rebuilt and is working pretty well at radiohc.cu. On shortwave, Cuba may be heard from noon to 1 p.m. at 15140 and from 6 p.m. to midnight at either 6000, 6060, 6100, or 6165. One of my goals in producing this show is to encourage people like you to listen to international broadcasts, get a global perspective. Every Thursday evening, I post a new shortwave report at the website for this show. That's www.outfarpress.com. At my website, you can also listen to past shows. Please consider making a safe donation online through PayPal. There's a link for that at my website, along with a podcast link, and get advice for listening at home. The Shortwave Report, which is now in its 24th year of production, remains free to rebroadcast upon notification. The Shortwave Report is produced and distributed off the electrical grid in Northern California using solar panels. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Thanks for listening.